Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 56, 2020 Candidate Forum, Cindy Bullock, County Commission.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Color Country Politics. We are continuing our candidate series today. I am Jenny Hendricks, along with my co-host,
Jesse Harris.
And we've got Iron County Commission candidate Cindy Bullock on with us today. So Cindy, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's just jump right into it and tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I am Cindy Bullock, currently serving as the Iron County Assessor and running for County Commission. I was first elected for the Assessor and took office in 2011, so I've been serving in that capacity for a little over 9 years. Born and raised in Summit, the big city, went to Paramount High School, went away to college, went to Utah State, then California, Cal Poly, then Wyoming, Salt Lake, and back here. So kind of made a little tour of the western states, married 4 kids between the two of us and 8 grandkids. So that's the short version.
I'm really jealous that you have grandkids.
They're awesome.
That's great. So tell us, why are you running for this office?
So as county assessor, I've been involved and actually have probably been to, I think I counted about 450 some odd commission meetings. So I've been involved, but a little bit on the peripheral, been involved, but not making those decisions. And I've seen some things that I think we could, that we do well, and some things that we're going to do better. And I know that's one of your questions we'll get to later, but when Alma Adams actually talked to me 4 years ago when he ran last time and said, hey, I think this is my last term, I think you should really consider running. So I've been thinking about it for 4 years. Like, should I do that? Could I do that? Would I be a good fit? And I feel like I am. With the Alma deciding not to run, I think it's important that we retain someone in agriculture, we retain someone from outside of Cedar City. I think it's important that not all three commissioners are from Cedar City proper. And having some background in just county budgets, in, you know, I know what's going on, I should be able to hit the ground running a little bit quicker. I mean, it's still going to be a learning curve, but it hopefully won't be quite as steep of a learning curve because of my involvement in the county. I know the department heads, I know some of the issues we've faced, and I like the county. I want to be the biggest cheerleader and talk about how well we're doing, but also help navigate through some issues that we may be facing.
Yeah, I like your point about not all three commissioners being from Cedar City. You know, there's different issues that come from different parts of the county, and I do agree that it is important for the non-municipal parts of the county to have that kind of representation. I think that's a very well-made point. So tell us, what are a few things you hope to accomplish if you are elected?
Well, actually, that's changed in the last few months. In January, when I first decided to run, we were looking at, you know, some infrastructure projects. And the jail was a big issue and still is going to be a big issue. We've got the oldest jail in the state. It is definitely not adequate right now for our, well, it's working, but we need to update that. So that was an issue, and having a county plan and kind of looking forward at some things that we might need to do. Retaining our employees, we spend a fair amount of money training and recruiting employees. So I think that's important. But with the COVID and the economic crisis that we are possibly facing, with closing of some of those big issues, the big festivals, summer games and Shakespeare Festival, as well as, you know, smaller things. Neil Simon, the powwow. There's just a lot of things that we do that bring in business and money to the county that are going to have to take precedent in front of some of those things like a county jail. So I think we need to be able to help businesses get back open and running. And it's a fine line sometimes in government, because really government should stay out of the way of business and let them run themselves. Business is the best at business, and governing should be in doing things like infrastructure. But with where we are right now, we need to figure out where that balance is, and maybe not tell businesses how to do it, but able to be partners with them to make sure that they're able to be up and running, and give them whatever resources, help them find those resources so that they can get going and we can get back on track.
Well, I think, again, that's a very well-made point. I was on a conference call with the Economic and Tourism Bureau, and was told that between mid-March and mid-April, there was over $11 million of outside spending that did not come in. It was over $400,000 a day. So I think your focus is spot on. You know, the hotel, dining, retail, especially the smaller businesses, are really going to need some focus and some attention. So I think that's great.
Yeah, and one other thing that sometimes we forget about that's going to be a side note, and hopefully a small side note, but we need to make sure we look at it, is the mental health issue that may be coming because of this. I've volunteered a couple of times in the last few months with the Care and Share and handing out food boxes. And last Friday, a week ago Friday when I was there, there was a woman that had come through, and she just said, yeah, my husband just lost his job and I'm helping with my grandkids. And she just wept. And was, you could just tell when it was palpable how sad she was and how desperate she felt because of her husband losing his job and her trying to help with the grandkids. And it just, we need to make sure that we're helping in those mental health issues too, because just the stress of the personal loss of income and helping our kids and grandkids. And then even, talking with Stephanie Furnivel at the Children's Justice Center, we have some, you know, some issues with our children, and school was their safe place. So without being in school, now they're at home. That may not be a safe place. So we need to make sure that those resources are available to our citizens as well.
I 100% agree with that. We had Peggy Cox on a while ago, and she was talking about how the number of people who are using those resources is up, of course, but the people have changed. It's people who used to be able to get by, and now through no fault of their own, they're not getting by. And right. I'm glad for that elevation of that discussion that has to do with domestic violence and violence against children and hunger and those kinds of mental health issues. It's something that really needs to be sort of at the forefront of our conversation so we can address it, you know, so as a community, right, we can solve it. So I think that's great. Okay, let's pivot to, what is the county commission doing well?
You know, we have done a really good job financially. We're in a great financial position, and I give kudos to the commissioners that are in now, the ones that were there before, and our county auditor. Financially, we are a AAA bond rating, which is kind of unheard of for counties. Many counties actually have to do tax anticipation bonds, meaning that they don't have enough money at the first of the year to pay their bills, so they have to get a bond to pay the bills until the taxes are due in November. Iron County's never had to do that, and we are in a really good place financially. So as things may come, when we talked about with the financial downturn, our sales tax numbers are going to be down. So there will be some hits that way, and we're going to be able to weather it better than many other counties and cities because of our financial position. We also have really, really good employees. I don't know if you've come into motor vehicle in Parowan or Cedar versus in some of the bigger cities or in another state. And we, I mean, those ladies work their tails off and they are pleasant. All of our employees countywide, whether it's the road department, our police officers, oh my gosh, totally sidetracked, but that protest yesterday was, I was so proud to be from Southern Utah. I will tear up because I've watched the news the last couple of days and been just really distraught at what is happening. And I do think we have a race issue we need to look at, but we also need to make sure that we are protecting and supporting our officers. And boy, did we hit it out of the park in Cedar yesterday. I happened to be downtown at that same time, and Chief Carpenter and Chief Adams were right there as they were directing traffic, as those mostly young people were walking across the street, and President Wyatt was right there with them. It was so awesome to see our community to come together, where in other places that was tearing people apart. And I think in Iron County, we brought it together, and it was cool. So I don't even know what you asked me. Sorry. Tangent.
Well, whatever the question, that was a fabulous answer. So
it's, what are we doing right? So that in Iron County, we are doing right. I don't know if the commissioners can take the credit for that, but boy, are we doing some things great in Iron County.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. It, you know, just to watch the support of the First Amendment and the law enforcement reaching out, county attorney was there.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, Scott Wyatt was there from SUU, president of SUU, and what great engagement. So I 100% agree with that. It was really, really something to see the community come together and support each other, where you're right, so many other communities, even in Salt Lake, I mean, it's 250 miles away from us, and in Las Vegas, 170 miles south,
right,
being torn apart.
Yeah. I mean, there were Trump flags and there were Black Lives Matter flags. It was like the craziest but coolest thing.
Only in Southern Utah, I guess, right?
That's right.
Okay, so let's shift to, what do you think should be improved at the county commission?
Well, I think we need to be a little more transparent, and that is an overused word. And so, yeah, everyone says, well, we need transparency, but I'll just give you an example of a time that I was involved that I think we could have done better. And it really was, so when the county bought some property for a prairie dog habitat out in between Parowan and Summit on the old road, they had an offer in this property, and the offer was about to expire. So in order to make their decision, they had a special commission meeting, and it was like on a Thursday afternoon in Cedar. Well, the appearance was that they were trying to sneak it in. That really was not their intention, but because it appeared that way, sometimes in politics, the appearance is the reality, and it looked like they were doing something that they really shouldn't have. And I mean, it was properly noticed, and they gave their, 48 hours or 24 hours or whatever of notice, but it just made it look like maybe they were trying to sneak something under, and they really weren't. So I think a little bit more organization and transparency, that's just an example. I think our boards and I, actually talked to the commissioners and to John, the clerk, and we finally have a list of all of our county boards on the website and their terms of office. I think it would be good to get some more engagement. And I know that's easier said than done, because there are some people, probably the three of us in this conversation, who are always the first one to raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I'll help, I'll be involved in that. But there's also a lot of really good people in this community who don't know there are opportunities for involvement, and they bring a lot of good background that we could really use. So if we can help broaden those commissions and boards a little bit more to include more and different people, so it's not always the same people on those boards, I think we get better decisions. I am not at all afraid of differing viewpoints. I think differing viewpoints coming together make the best decisions.
I think that's great. And I have seen, you know, evidence of what you're talking about, where you're involved in things and it's sort of the same people who are involved. So I think a little outreach from the county commission to diversify some of these boards would be really helpful. I think, and you know, there's been sort of a general conversation about this for a long time, that the leadership in whatever organization should be reflective of the population, and then get better decisions that way. So I think that's great. Okay, well, before we wrap it up, we want to give you an opportunity to just, what else should voters know about you? Tell us your website, your Facebook page, anything else that you want people to know about Cindy Bullock.
Okay, well, I'll give you the really boring stuff, like my phone number, which is 435-233-0314. I'll do it again, 435-233-0314. I would love to hear from your listeners. My website is cindybullockforironcounty.com, and Facebook is Cindy Bullock for Iron County. I would just love to hear from people. I think it's important that we have someone who is their own voice, that is willing to stand up and speak and push back a little bit. If you've watched any of those commission meetings, any of the last 450, you will see that I'm not afraid to stand up and say push back sometimes when I think we need to look. I think that's important. I think we should always be respectful, but I think that we need to have someone who's willing to stand up and say, yeah, I'm not sure that really works for this group of people. Or sometimes, even if it's just being the devil's advocate, to make sure that we're looking at things from all different viewpoints. And then the experience. The budget is probably the biggest sole responsibility of the county commission, and county budgets are what they call fund balance, fund accounting. So it's not just cash accounting, where if there's enough money in the account, you can spend it on whatever you want. It's earmarked for certain things. And so you've got to have somebody that kind of understands that there are certain funds that are received that can only be spent like on road projects. And there are certain funds that can only be spent for, you know, tourism. And even in Maria, we talked a little bit about Maria with the tourism, even within her budget, there are certain things that can only be spent on advertising, certain things that can only be spent in capital improvements. So you've got to have somebody that understands that overall budgeting process, and not just that it's, you know, it's different. It's not just because it's millions of dollars, it's extra zeros. It is a completely different way of accounting. And then I'm approachable. I really do love Iron County, and I'm ready to serve.
That's great. A perfect ending. We're glad that you had time to come on, Cindy. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
And like
you
said, this is kind of in my car, so if I could sing, I would give you a little carpool karaoke, but none of your listeners want that.
We'll give you some more time. Yeah, this is your time. If you want to sing.
They would never tune in again. You're supposed to increase your viewership and not decrease it. So no thanks.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. We've had Cindy Bullock with us today. We're grateful that she had time to come on. I am Jenny Hendricks, along with my co-host, the silent Jesse Harris. Thanks for tuning into Color Country Politics, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.